It's time for another good idea, bad idea. Good idea. Feeding stray kittens in the park. Bad idea. Feeding stray kittens in the park to a bear. The end.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Prototype. I am joined by...
Mike the Birdman Todd!
And I'm Jamie JJ Johnston, and today we're talking about MMOs. What the fuck are they? Why are they so special?
You're not sitting beside me anymore.
I know. So, I'm actually at my apartment. We're testing out doing this over Skype, and hopefully it works. That way we can get more shows out to you guys. As usual, what have you been playing, Dodd?
Oh, God, nothing but Grand Theft Auto. Nothing but... And you know what? As of the show's recording, which is September 24th, so hopefully you guys are hearing this today, that game has consumed, like, easily 40 hours of my life. I think I'm just about half done. And that means I haven't had a chance to put out any rads. I've been trying to do this. I'm hoping to play Star Fox later on today, just because I know that's a game I can rip through in like an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah.
But just, oh my God, dude, there is so much to this game. And I can honestly say I've blown most of my one character's money in the strip club. But now I've got a booty call list. I'm awesome.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people having a lot of fun with that game. I've only played maybe the first couple of missions at a friend's house. I haven't picked it up yet. I'm kind of waiting for that Christmas $20 price drop, and then I'll grab it just because I got way too many games on the go. But yeah, it looks like a lot of fun, especially the strip club part. I won't lie, we did go in there, and it's funny getting kicked out by the bouncer when you touch them.
It was funny. My wife, Blair, was sitting with me doing this one night. She's like, you need to take one home and fuck them. And then you need to go out and kill a bunch of prostitutes. So she made me kill them with a hammer, which was amazing. And now she's like, don't tell people that I'm a secret soon. So my wife is secretly Dexter. Yeah,
that was fantastic.
It's so much fun though. Plus finding all the cool cars. I just want something on Achievement Hunter. There's a ghost you can find in the game, Bigfoot you can find. The variety of missions is what really surprises me.
There is a lot of content to that game.
Like, it's literally, it's Skyrim Grand Theft Auto. It's Sky Auto or Auto Rim.
Auto Rim.
It's just, oh my God. Like, literally, once you beat the game, you can go back and redo all the heists. My favorite one so far is the first one where you rob the bank. But one that it's frustrating, but it's cool. You have to steal a helicopter and a submarine, and then you have to take the helicopter to drop the submarine into the ocean, and then you got to shoot down helicopters that are chasing you. It's so ridiculously fun, and Trevor is the best character ever in video games. The first 5 minutes, he introduces you to this character. He kills the lead character from Lost in the Dam from Grand Theft Auto 4. Mm-hmm. He hits him with a beer bottle, then stomps his head in.
Spoilers alert, by the way.
Well, you know, it's the first intro of the character. I'm just like, holy shit, you just killed Johnny! It's amazing. So everybody should play this game. It's amazeballs, but Lord help you if you give this game to a kid. In fact, I've got a small story here. So right. I got an extra copy of the game because it's me. And I was looking for some extra money, so I posted it on my local buy and sell group. And this kid approaches me. And I'm like, okay, you want to buy it? Okay, sure, fine, whatever. So he buys it off me. And his mom wanted him to take the game inside to verify that it worked. I'm like, dude, it's still sealed in the plastic. I'm like, oh, okay. And he's surrounded by like 8 and 10 year olds. And I'm like, are you sure, man? I mean, you don't want to play this game in front of them. I'm like, don't you, Lord help you if you go into the strip club. He's like, no, man, it's okay. My mom says it's fine. Then this little 10 year old pipes up behind him. I play Grand Theft Auto 4 all the time. Awesome. I've just contributed to society becoming worse.
you know, for kids.
Yeah, exactly. You know, for kids. I'm clearly a horrible person now. But, you know.
Well, you always were, but now you're just even worse.
Well, it's funny because there's this one thing that I saw online, and it makes sense. It's called, all right, the ESRB did its job. Now it's your job as parents to do your thing. And I'm thinking, you know what? I think my hands are clean on this one. I'm not 100% sure. I'll live with it. So I've contributed to the, what's the word here? Corruption of a minor.
You've done no worse than I did when I was at EB Games. You told the parents saying, hey, are you sure about this? They said yes, so whatever.
All right, party on, it's Derby Hooves. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, there we go. So, what have you been playing?
In honor of trying to do this episode, I've actually been playing a lot of Final Fantasy XIV: A Realm Reborn. It's a new MMO from Square Enix. Well, a remade MMO from Square Enix. Other than that, I haven't really got to play much. I've been really busy with the swap meets and stuff that I had recently. Made lots of money there, and you know, got some more games for the collection, which I'll be. I'm very close to having my YouTube channel launched. I'm just squaring up some more of the videos that I'm trying to crank out and get the quality up on them, see how I'm doing them. So anyway, on to said MMOs. Well, first, what is an MMO? Because we keep saying that phrase and people might not even know. It means a massively multiplayer online game. So usually MMORPG would be, massively multiplayer online RPG, which is a role-playing game. Then you've got FPSs, which the new one going to be coming out soon, Destiny, is going to be one of the first MMO FPSs, first-person shooters. We're kind of here to talk about MMOs and what's so special about them and everything about them, basically. So, Dodd, what do you think makes an MMO special nowadays?
The ability to suck a player in microtransactions. Now, I really think an MMO these days, I think it has to be a game that's compelling enough for you to do the same thing over and over again over a variety of hours and for you not to get bored. And I think there's like a famous quote where they say a video game should replicate the same 10 minutes of fun for like a number of hours or something along those lines.
Well, basically, it has to have a world that you want to enjoy more than your actual life. That's how people actually get kind of consumed by it, is they're trying to escape from their life into them. This was a very large community issue back when like World of Warcraft first came out. Nowadays, a lot of people are starting to slide out of the MMO genre. Like, they're enjoying it, but they're not like, hey, I'm gonna play it for 24 hours straight and then freaking die.
Yeah, like, for me, MMOs are something that I just don't get, frankly. And it's funny because I started playing those way back in the day, and it just never carried forward with me. I mean, for example, I look at a lot of the recent MMOs that come out. I should be friggin' thrilled. Marvel, DC, Star Wars, Star Trek. These are all franchises that I know and love. These are all things I know and love. But I don't give a fuck. Not a single fuck was given that day. With the exception of when The Matrix shut down a couple years ago. And I don't know, like, I do not get how you can get into it so much, because, like, we've had long conversations on my couch about this, and I don't get it. I do not understand MMOs. I don't understand how people can spend hours upon hours playing them. In fact, I had a friend of mine in college, Brandon, who would say, oh, guys, I can't come out tonight. I'm like, fuck you, why? He's like, oh, I've got a raid. I'm like, well, what the fuck is that? He's like, oh, it's a World of Warcraft thing. I'm like, you're telling me you're ditching me for a computer game? Now, this is before I started Twig, so I'd like to point this out. I was like, oh, go outside and drink? Yes. But yeah, I didn't get it. And people would be consumed by this. Like, it was insane how much time they would throw at this.
Well, it's actually funny because I do play them and have played them for a long time with, you know, the year break here or there. I can actually explain a lot of the impulses behind that. Back when I was in high school, I played Final Fantasy XI. I think I played for 7 years straight. So it was a very large part of my life put into that. And the thing is you say you don't understand how people can play these kind of games, whereas I'm the exact opposite. I don't understand how people can play things like Skyrim because it's the literal same thing but opposite, because Skyrim has tons and tons and tons of things to do, but you're alone, whereas an MMO is basically like Skyrim, but you're doing it with other players, and there's a lot of group difficulty rather than just by yourself. So there's a lot of the reasons that people get sucked into MMOs for a long period of time. And when developing an MMO, this is highly considered, is the rewarding system. So essentially, everything you do in the game, especially with World of Warcraft, they are the ones that started this, the very first ones to start this very heavily, which is why it became so big. Everything you do in the game rewards you in World of Warcraft, and it's conveyed into newer MMOs like Final Fantasy 14 now. You run to an area that you've never been to, well, you just open up that part of the map, you've now explored that part of the map, and it gains you experience, which usually pops up on the screen saying, hey, achievement, you've seen this part of the map. And it just gives you that rewarding feeling in the back of your mind. You don't really realize it, but it makes you want to get more of them, which happens when you level up, happens when you get better gear. Like, it's just everything in the game has that subtle rewarding thing. It's another another type of game that uses this is puzzle games. So things on Facebook, they have little tiny rewards, little things pop on screen to be like, hey, you did a good job. It just makes you want to keep playing. Except MMOs just have it to a much higher extent. Another reason why a lot of people will go with an MMO for, like, to go with your story there of how your friend was, oh, I've got a raid tonight. Well, with me, even though I had tons of friends during high school, which is usually the opposite of people that play MMOs, usually they're very okay, this isn't a rule, but a lot of people that play MMOs, they're very sheltered and they like to play games on their own and not go outside.
So feedback at thisweekingeek.net for all hate mail.
Well, I'm not saying that as a rule because, like I said, myself, I had a lot of friends, probably, like, I called them acquaintances because there's so many people that I knew in high school that I literally couldn't get out to hang out with everybody. So I would call certain people my friends, everybody else my acquaintances. But I played probably 8 hours or more a day on an MMO on Final Fantasy XI. So there came a time when in the game you would have to do certain raids, you know, in quotes, depending on the game, each one calls them something different, and these could last for, like, in Final Fantasy XI, you could have one of these raids last 2 to 3 hours, and if somebody left, it would really hinder the entire group because you've built kind of a bond and everyone has their role of what they do in this place. So essentially, if people didn't show up, well, then you kind of had your friends online lose faith in you. So the reason I can kind of convey with that person is, see, there was many times where I would tell my friends, hey, I'm busy this night. And they say, well, what are you doing? And, well, I'm just doing something on my own. And then they'd eventually get out of you and just be like, well, I'm playing an MMO and I'm doing something specific in it. And then they would have your reaction. Well, what the fuck? Let's go drink instead. You're weird. And it's, no, I've booked that kind of time with those set of friends. So that's where you get that kind of part of that mentality. It's because it's something very important, and playing the game with those people for so long, they become another set of friends to you. I can even say this because those people that I played for 7 years, they've now moved on. Most of them have actually had kids, and I'm still in contact with them. I talked with them via TeamSpeak, Ventrilo, etc., and I'm actually playing with some of them in Final Fantasy 14 now.
That's amazing, the fact that these games forge such relationships. I think I know a couple that met over World of Warcraft, and I think they're married now.
I know a couple that, like, a few that have actually done that. One of them was one of my friends in high school. Others are people that I know on there that have met each other through it. And a lot of these friends that are kind of a tight group now, if I lived in the States, they probably would have visited me, but they've all visited each other because they're close enough within, you know, a state away. Yeah. So it, that's just kind of how bond. It's like having real world bonds, but you also have them within a game because you spend so much time with the people. It's kind of where you get that from.
Yeah. One of the, you know, it's actually funny. While like you were talking there, I kind of realized I actually have had an MMO multiplayer experience similar where I'm like, guys, I can't come out. I'm doing something. And it actually involves your girlfriend.
Was it Mass Effect?
Yeah, we used to make time on the weekends. Like, all right, you and the rest of the squad show up. We'll go kick some Reaper ass. We'll get enough for a couple of Spectre packs. We'll call it a day. And it used to be me, Tiffany, a guy we know named Ricky, another guy we know named Jared. And yeah, that was right. It was always like 4 to 5 people. Oh, and Scotty. And we'd all get together and we just wipe the floor with the horde mode that more or less Mass Effect 3 had. And we did this for a good couple of months.
And at the end, you got some sort of reward that was hard to get unless you had that squad, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because we'd be like, okay, it's Reaper weekend, kill X amount on this map or use this weapon to get X amount of headshots. And that's what we would do. That was our weekend. I remember many late nights on a Friday night. Like, all right, Tiffany, we're going to do this. We'll get our reward, we'll call it a day.
And see,
we did that for like easily 4 or 5 months.
See, that's the exact same mentality that MMOs have had since they first came out. It's just when it comes to a first person shooter, it's usually to a less of a scale, so people don't see it as odd. Whereas an MMO, they're like, well, you're trying to seclude yourself and you're being weird. And no, that you're having fun in your own way. Mm-hmm. And you have a set of friends that you're trying not to, you know, let down. Mm-hmm. So anyway, with that being said, that's pretty much how people can get consumed by it, is they start relying a little bit too much on those friendships and not what's happening in their real life. So let's go through a list of what games kind of follow the MMO style, and like from the really influential ones. So obviously got World of Warcraft. Did you ever have experience with World of Warcraft?
You know what? I downloaded it, but I never installed it, if that makes any sense.
Do you have any crazy stories about it? About like other people?
Well, kind of. Actually, Twig founder or co-founder Steve Saylor used to be a DJ in the Matrix Online for a number of years, and I actually heard him on there, I'm pretty sure, back in the day, because there was this website that you could launch from inside the game, which was a music streaming service, and would provide news around the mega city. If there were events happening on your particular server, like they might say, hey guys, if you're on the Vectrex server tonight, be at Club Mayhem at 10 p.m., NVIDIA is giving out video cards. Or agents are swarming this particular area, stay away from it, blah, blah, blah. And it was so fucking cool. actually, The Matrix Online was my first true MMO. I remember after The Matrix Revolutions came out, I saw it and I'm like, fuck, buying that day one. I actually still have my promotional magazine from when the game launched. So that sucker's like easily 10 years old now. I don't know if it's worth anything. And I actually had a Matrix Online developer t-shirt. And I won that from the developers of the game. They had like some in-game contest, like answer a bunch of trivia and we'll give you something cool. Sorry.
The funny thing here is that there's so many MMOs that I didn't even know there was a Matrix MMO.
Yeah. It was very early on in, like, I think 2000... I'm trying to think what computer ran it. I think it was 2004 is when this came out, I think, give or take. Yeah, it wasn't too long after Revolutions, and it shut down, I think it was last year or the year before last. And yeah, that's a game that I played for a little while. However, though, I can even go further back in the long, long ago to games that I played. And for those of you that know what a MUD is... multi-user dungeon. I used to play on BBS's bulletin board system. So we're talking real old shit.
Oh, God, that...
back when we used floppy drives, Jamie.
Yeah. I never got into that.
I used to play... the great shame, so feedback at thisweekingeek.net. I used to play in a furry one. I was an anthropomorphic bunny. Shut the fuck up. I thought I was cool. That's before I learned about Rule 34. That's when I stopped liking furry stuff. When I saw a horse fuck a cat, I'm like, I've had enough of this. I do not like your newsletter, sir. I'm unsubscribing.
Okay, that was a picture I didn't want to have in my mind.
Like I said, feedback at thisweekingeek.net, now that I've horrified you.
Yeah, I can have the center send an email to us.
I also used to play in a Telnet Shadowrun game, which was very cool. It was based upon the second edition rule set of the pen and paper RPG. And I used to play Hunter the Reckoning online in a play by email group, which is very much the precursor of the MMO. Where you'd get people together to play, not with any particular game client. It might be a chat room, might be playing by email, or playing by website, or play by post.
Yeah.
Sort of like a forum board sort of thing. So, yeah, those are my initial ones. But, yeah, I played The Matrix online for about a year. But at $15 a month, I just couldn't keep up with it.
You're going way back. Well, actually, on that note of the $15 a month, a lot of people that don't like the idea of an MMO will use that excuse. But my rebuttal to that is always, and I'm basically marketing for every MMO game here. You spend $15 a month, and if you actually get into the MMO, you're probably playing 8+ hours a day. Maybe less, depending on your schedule, but it can enthrall you into playing that much, and that can last you. Like I said, I played Final Fantasy XI because of the patches, the expansions, everything like that for 7 years, and it has just hit its 10-year anniversary. The only reason I stopped was because I went to school and said, you know what, I don't want to play this anymore because it takes up too much of my time, and I'm going to go make video games. So it's one of those things of $15 a month versus $70 for one brand new game, say like a new Halo, which I know for a fact now, my mentality, this is the way my brain works. I'll buy a new Halo. I will play it for 2 weeks straight, get burnt out because I did everything in the game. And then I will play it maybe 6 months down the road for, you know, like I'll play it nightly, like once a week. I'll play it at night. So that was $70, which would be a little over four months worth of gameplay on an MMO. So that's where you can kind of think of the price there.
See, I don't know. Like for me, I don't feel I'm getting a rewarding experience as I would a single player game. Yeah, it may only be a 20-hour experience, give or take. Or 8 hours in the case of most modern shooters. But I don't know. Like, I guess the fact, you know what it boils down to? I don't like people. Well, it's weird because I have to find people that I'm comfortable playing with. I mean, even in Grand Theft Auto, like next week, Grand Theft Auto Online launches.
That's going to be a shit storm in the media, and their servers are probably going to explode.
Well, even right now, they're having trouble with Rockstar Online, the social club, and all this thing. My guess is it's going to be delayed till the week after next at the earliest.
Yeah, never know.
Something stupid's going to happen, mark my words. But yeah, just I find it so hard to get involved in games like that because I also feel with MMOs, especially if they have something called PvP...
Yeah, then most have them.
It's just, it becomes a dick-waving contest. And the best episode of South Park, I think, really illustrates this, is Make Love, Not Warcraft.
And best episode ever.
And it makes it so much better because there's always that one dickhole who is retardedly powerful over you where you and your friends can't have fun. And that's... I feel maybe that's a perceived problem I have with MMOs where I don't want to dip my toe back in for fear of getting butthurt.
Well, see, On that note, it really depends on the MMO. This is why I loved Final Fantasy XI and am continuing to love Final Fantasy XIV here, is PvP was nowhere near, like, no one really cared about PvP in XI. It was actually pretty broken and not, like, no good, but it was one of those things of, it's not like World of Warcraft where you see somebody from an enemy faction and you just kill them. It's in Final Fantasy XI, you actually went to designated areas where it was a contest of skill and you fought each other, but it had nothing to do with, like, you couldn't just go up and stab somebody. Final Fantasy XIV here hasn't actually implemented its PvP system yet, but they've said that it's going to be, once again, kind of like a Colosseum thing. Like, you actually can choose to duel with people, but it has nothing to do with the rest of the game, which is mostly player versus enemy, which is monsters and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just because you've been kind of thrown into the wrong MMO for that.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing too. You have to find the right MMO, and it's not necessarily based upon your favorite franchise. For example, I mean, I went into playing DC Online, which is available for PC and PlayStation 3, though I don't recommend the PlayStation 3 version.
No.
You're thrown in this, hey, you might be Batman's assistant. No, fuck that. I want to play Batman, or I want to play Aquaman. I want to play the Green Lantern. And you can buy expansion packs. I'm thinking, well, that's no fun. Or, you know, or maybe Dungeons & Dragons Online. You know, that should be awesome. And I think it's set during Forgotten Realms or Greyhawk, which is the default setting for that game.
I actually haven't had any experience with that one, so...
But it's one of those things where, if I want to do this, why would I spend $15 a month when I can spend maybe $60, $70, get the core books from the pen and paper RPG, and get my friends together and play for free?
See, that's one of those things. Like you said, everyone's going to have a different MMO that might cater to them specifically, and it might not be the franchise. It might be something else. Generally, just like every game, it comes down to gameplay mechanics. If the game's not fun, why the fuck should you play it? If the game's not going to cater to what you want, why the fuck should you play it?
Well, it's one of those things where I want, you know, see, part of me wants to join the cool kids club. And I really do. I genuinely want to get involved in some of these games that are out there. I mean, one of them that's coming up very, very soon, I don't know if I'd necessarily call it an MMO, but I know there's a lot of multiplayer online involvement. That game is Watch Dogs.
Yeah.
This game looks so tremendously fucking badass. I've been playing the mobile app Watch Dogs Live religiously for like a month now, and I'm almost in the top 1,000 across Canada. Out of 100,000, that's a fucking accomplishment. And just, it's one of those things where the fact that it's this huge interactive environment, that's cool. If something happens on the other side of the city, that might affect your game. That's neat. That is fucking cool. Or there's, doesn't Titanfall... No, not Titanfall.
Destiny.
Destiny, yeah. That looks cool. I'm okay with this. This might not actually suck.
I honestly don't know what to think about Destiny, because it's an online FPS that is supposed to have an ever-changing world, which every time I've ever gone into an MMO that says it has an ever-changing world, they've hyped it up so much that it makes you fall on your ass when you're like, this is not as crazy awesome as they're trying to make it sound. Because it's impossible to have an ever-changing world unless they literally have somebody doing a content patch every fucking day.
Well, the Matrix Online tried to do this. They would have interactive events that would affect the world, and it's worked and it somehow didn't, because they might have Morpheus is attacking part of the city for whatever reason, and, you know, you would find out about it, and it would affect, they'd spread that content over the servers, but then World of Warcraft would have these huge event and content packs, which would build on the evolution of that.
Yeah, I mean, every MMO has things that, you know, change the world or make the world seem like it's kind of living and doing its own thing, but the only game that has tried to say that they were doing this and almost succeeded was it's an MMO that was originally published by Square Enix, not created by them. It was made by, I believe, Ankama Games. Mm-hmm. Wakfu was the name. And basically it had a quote-unquote ever-changing world that was actually changeable by the players. So the government and everything was all run by players. They got to choose what like plants and stuff that would grow in certain areas. You could actually run up, be an asshole, and chop down all the trees. And you could make the tree, that tree, be extinct, and then the government would be able to pay a massive amount of money to basically bring back one seed of that tree, and they could try to repopulate that tree, like, so that people could make stuff from that. So that was like the closest that a game has ever really done that. You were able to make the creatures nearly be extinct, and then, you know, they could try to bring them back or whatever. Or you could be people that tried to overpopulate it, which would they then eat the plants and all that crap. Unfortunately, that game in my eyes really flopped because they released it too soon and it wasn't fully complete. And then they decided, oh, this isn't balanced. We need to change the entire leveling system, which pissed everybody off. And Square Enix even withdrew their publication for it. Mm-hmm. So that's when you know you fucked up.
Yeah. Where was I going to go with this? I don't know. I've lost my train of thought. Sorry.
Well, basically, we've actually kind of skipped away from what we were trying to get at, is the games that have followed it and what's current. So, I mean, you got back into the way back games. The earliest ones that I can think of that in the public eye were huge is EverQuest.
RuneScape.
Media-wise, RuneScape, EverQuest, these are the ones where EverQuest had stories about a kid killed himself because he lost his character or something, so he went and committed suicide. Then you got World of Warcraft would be the next big one, which during World of Warcraft and before it, I was playing Final Fantasy XI because, well, I like Final Fantasies because they're hard. World of Warcraft, I fucking found way too easy. But once again, that game and Final Fantasy XI was actually one of the first to it got a couple news articles about it. They added an expansion, which one of the end game bosses that took 18 people to take down, 18 plus people to take down, but it would take up to 3 hours, and it like up to 3 hours before people were even trying to figure out how to fight the boss, because he had some sort of special thing about him that made him immune to your attacks, and he would just keep reviving and things. So essentially, a group, a very dedicated group, I believe they fought him for 18 or 21, a very large number of hours straight, until the leaders of that guild or Lingshell or whatever you want to call it, they straight up told their members, okay, we're stopping, we're giving up, because their players were physically becoming ill because they tried to fight this thing for so long. So that caught on to the media because it was like, what the hell are MMOs doing to people? And the next patch on Final Fantasy XI was that that enemy now will become a god after 3 hours and instant kill everyone if you haven't beat him. So a fight that they couldn't beat in 21 hours, now they had 3 hours to try to beat him.
Now has he been beaten?
Oh, yeah. Once people figured out what the trick was to make him no longer immune and all that, they were started beating him in like 2 hours. So and it was one of those things of that fight gave you like the best gear in the game, and it was meant to be hard. But see, Square Enix is one of those companies that when they release an RPG, they release enemies and stuff. An enemy is supposed to be hard, and they're not going to just tell you, okay, this is his weakness. They don't just tell you, hey, cast Reflect on your party when he's using these crazy attacks and it'll bounce back at him. Like that's Final Fantasy IV, I think, has one of them. Final Fantasy 1 and 3. Yeah. Anyway, whereas like World of Warcraft would be like, there's an NPC that would just tell you every little detail of how to kill this guy.
Yeah.
That's why that ended up hitting the media. World of Warcraft had a ridiculous amount of sales for the reasons we already talked about. So they hit the media as a holy crap, this is consuming the world. World of Warcraft has lost its steam, though. I believe there's some sort of number, which, once again, what is it? That 85% of all statistics are made up on the spot, including that one.
Well, they're losing subscribers.
Yeah,
they're hemorrhaging them.
They're like losing, I want to say I was told either 100,000 or like some ridiculous number every month is just flowing out of that game. And I can easily say that, yeah, I've noticed them in other games, because Final Fantasy XIV, A Realm Reborn, it launched 3 weeks ago. And I would say 90% of the players did not come from Final Fantasy XI. They are from World of Warcraft. And most of them freely admit it. And that's when we're usually like, well, you're going to have an eye opener here, because this is not Warcraft. This is Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
And we like difficulty.
I don't know. Like, it surprises me that a lot of MMOs are now going this free to play route.
Well, the thing about that, from what I've noticed from trending recently for the last like 2 or even 3, maybe even 4 years, people are just not being grasped by MMOs as much anymore, because it's not like, holy crap, there's like 2 MMOs that are amazing. No, it's everybody is shelling out an MMO now. You've got a Chronicles of Riddick MMOs coming out soon.
Get the fuck out. Really?
Yeah, they're from what I was told, unless they're just, they tweaked the words wrong and it's actually just like a new Riddick and it's got a lot of multiplayer. I don't know. I heard MMO. There's Destiny's coming out. World of Warcraft has been out forever. Final Fantasy XIV came out. That Star Wars one, The Old Republic, which it moved to a free-to-play model. There's millions of free-to-play small MMOs that have been made and they hide in the background. They've been around for years. But the thing is people have so many MMOs to choose from. They just kind of hop, and they can never find one that grabs them anymore, which is causing, and because of World of Warcraft, all these companies are like, hey, let's make an MMO. But when there's too many MMOs, it's like any kind of market. If you flood the market, the price is going to drop. But in this sense, it's people are going to not give a shit anymore.
Yeah, and I wonder if that bubble burst has actually come already.
That's what I'm thinking, because it's just the media is not following it anymore. World of Warcraft is literally bleeding players, and everybody's kind of looking at like Destiny, because hey, it's an MMO, but it's also the Halo FPS that we know and love, and it's combining the two, and hey, it's a completely different concept. So I think Destiny is gonna fucking explode.
Because one thing, just while I'm thinking of things that should explode, it surprises me when Star Wars, one of the biggest media franchises on the planet, not even 2 years, has gone free to play.
Yeah, the reason behind free to play and the mentality of it is, if we make our game free, like a lot of MMOs do this, usually it's a trial based system at first. So like World of Warcraft, Final Fantasy, they all had a trial. So you buy the game, you got 30 days for free. But a lot of them are just moving to the, hey, we're now free for you to play to a certain extent. But for us to still get our money so we can run this game and pay our people, we're going to put in microtransactions. So, you know, pay to win. Maybe there's a section where it's, hey, you can play until, say, level 30. The cap's level 50. If you want to go past level 30 and do the 30 to 50 content, then you have to subscribe. It's like a premium kind of thing. So you can still play our game, but we'll try to hook you and then make you give us money, which is a really smart way to do it, because they get a lot more people to try their game without, like, because if you don't have to pay anything, well, you can try it and see if you like it. But at the same time, that means they're publicly saying, hey, people aren't liking our game that much. Can you come try it at least? So I don't know. What's your thoughts on the free to play model?
I think it's a good idea. You should be able to purchase some additional content, but I like the idea that the core game is free, personally. I don't know. There's, like, I want more MMOs to follow the free-to-play one, because I think it can encourage a community to form around it, because they don't have that initial install price. If they want to buy better gear, they can, as long as it's balanced, as long as it's not, you know, really unbalanced. Because if, like, for example, in Mass Effect, I bought my way to the top in that game. I spend a retarded amount of money that I'm not even going to share with you because it would make you think that I'm insane. You wonder why you're broke, Mike. But I'll say this. Thanks, Microsoft. but, you know, it's... I want to see a balance between free-to-play and microtransactions. As long as it's not overboard where, hey, if you want to revive, that'll cost you 99 cents. I'm looking at you, Final Fantasy, on the iOS.
Then I'm well, see, I'm the exact opposite of mine. I prefer to have this subscription because, hey, I'm paying $15, which I means I know they're getting my money and I know they're going to use it to basically pay for servers. They're going to pay for people to troubleshoot. They're going to pay for the people that worked on stuff, and they're going to pay for the people that are going to make me expansions. I would much rather do that than have pay to win, because like you said, you paid your way to the top of Mass Effect. If somebody came up to me and I had worked, you know, for like 3 months straight to get this awesome gear, and they just walked up to me and like, hey, look at my gear, and it's like, well, why is your gear better than me? You literally started today. Oh, well, I spent like $70 on it and I just didn't give a shit. It just kind of ruins the spirit of, hey, this is a game that I worked hard to, you know, get some gear to be really good, and this guy just walks up, you know, he has lots of money in his life, so he just fucking gets whatever the hell he wants. It's just, I don't know. I guess it's kind of petty of me to be against it, but at the same time, it's like, well, it's like if you went to a basketball game and, why am I using basketball? A hockey game, and you can just, you know, sit there and you hand somebody cash and they go out and punch out the other team and, hey, now you win. Well, what the fuck's the sport in that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I hope MMOs do stay. I really do, because you know what? I want to find one that I'll fall in love with. And so far, Destiny, you've got the best possibility. Now, when the Marvel RPG finally gets its act together, maybe I'll give it a try. But I'm not holding my breath. You know what one I always wanted to try, but it never made it to North America due to the fucking licensing issues? The Dragon Ball one.
Oh, yeah, I've seen all kinds of different knockoff Dragon Ball RPGs, but there is that the one that is made for over there. I don't know why they've never launched that over here, because Dragon Ball Z was pretty popular over here. So, I mean, you'd think that it would get, you know, a bit of a base of players over here. But at the same time, maybe they've made it very Japanese, which means it might not actually take over here. I don't know. I haven't looked at the game. There's lots of MMOs that don't make it over here. It's one of those things that I believe the ones that make it over here and or are made over here that stick around, like the ones that are going to continue staying here, they're going to be the strong ones that hopefully, if you like MMOs, you get on board one of the strong ones, because there's ones like the Chronicles of Riddick. If that actually is coming as an MMO, it's going to be cool for the first couple of months. It's going to die after, you know, a year or two, just like, you know, Knights of the Old Republic did, which everyone thought that was going to be a strong game, but it wasn't in the end.
Well, it went free to play really quickly. I think it's because maybe they weren't pumping out good content fast enough.
Pretty much.
And, you know, it's not that it's a bad time to set the game, because everybody enjoys Knights of the Old Republic. They like the Sith Lords era. I think if they'd maybe played during the Rebellion era, I wonder if the game might have been more successful, because that's something everybody knows. They know Luke Skywalker. They know Han Solo. Does everybody know who, who half the people are in those games? No. I mean, it's Star Wars Expanded Universe, which means they don't necessarily have to follow any established canon. They can make their own.
Yeah.
If they so wish. And that can work for and that can work against. So, I don't know. I'm skeptical of where that... Actually, no, I'm not skeptical. I wonder where that game went wrong. But, you know, there's still people playing it. That's still awesome.
Well, the reason that a lot of MMOs fail, which I didn't really look into that one, but I'm assuming it falls into this, is to have a good MMO, you have to have a proper leveling curve where essentially the game teaches you and holds your hand near the beginning, and it slowly ramps up and gets to hard content that is the main bulk of the game, which is at the very end, the capped level. Most people will call it end game. Essentially, the main content has to be there, but you also have to have amazing content to ramp up and pull you into the game to lead you to that, which Final Fantasy XIV's one, like even 11 didn't have the greatest of a ramp, whereas Final Fantasy XIV's done an amazing job. So, I mean, it's Tiffany's playing it with me, so I did not see that coming. Like, I got it for her so she could try it, but I expected a, you know what, this isn't Mass Effect, this isn't Skyrim, I'm not going to really get any further than a couple levels. But she's now level 30, and she's enjoying the hell out of it, even though it's been frustrating her because, well, she doesn't know everything about it, like most MMO goers. But she's enjoying the experience, so it's just one of those things that I don't think the Old Republic actually had that proper curve. I think if I remember correctly, they either didn't have the end game, like they didn't have one of the two sections. It wasn't a good ramp up, or the end game was lacking, so... The thing is, if you get to the end game and there's nothing to do, well, you're going to quit.
Well, yeah, because you're like, I'm powerful and no one cares.
Well, it's if you're powerful, but you have nothing else to gain or you have nothing to fight, well, who the fuck gives a shit? Like, in Final Fantasy XI, there was weapons that you could build that were called relic weapons. Back when I played it, they were really fucking hard to get. Like, you could spend a year to 3 years working at it nonstop, and it could take you that long to get the weapon. But the weapon was so powerful that it like, if you had it, server-wide, people knew. Whereas in that game, I don't know for sure because I didn't play it, but if there was no end game and no items to obtain that were crazy like that, then why keep playing? Mm-hmm. So, what other MMOs are out right now? We got 14 Realm Reborn. We got World of Warcraft, which is starting to die. Destiny's coming up. You can almost consider like Grand Theft Auto 5 here. It could be classed as an MMO, depending on how their multiplayer is working, because they've been promising quite a bit for their multiplayer, right? Mm-hmm. What other ones are out that are really big?
Well, the Elder Scrolls Online is launching next year.
Yeah, that's actually one that I was kind of wondering, would you end up getting into?
$15 a month? Nope. Because same. Because I can spend that money on role-playing books, or that's a pizza. Or, you know, there's so much more I'd want to spend my money on for something I may only get to play a couple hours a month.
Yeah. See, where, like, it depends on each person, right? You would only get to play it a couple hours a month, so thus it's not worth your time, your money for said time. Whereas other people that can play it 8 hours a day, well, then, yeah, $15 a month, that's an amazing price. But everyone's got their own thing, right? Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's about all we got for the MMO scene. If we missed anything, please let us know. Feedback at This Week in Geek. And you want to give them the number, too?
Yes, that number is 817-717-7202. And like Jamie said, feedback at thisweekingeek.net. We do check every day. Haven't gotten any messages lately because you guys are quiet. But you know what? That's okay. We're also getting a lot of feedback on Facebook. So we do have a This Week in Geek Facebook page. You can check that out. Or me and Jamie, as far as I know, our information's public. So feel free to add us, friend us, whatever. Send us death threats. I don't care.
Just at least let us know that where you came from, because if you add me randomly, people do that all the time, and it's like, I don't know who you are. You didn't say anything, so fuck off.
Always check mutual friends.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if it's a random person. Oh, anyway.
But anyway, so yeah, next week we're going to be talking about Nintendo handhelds and some of our memories about them, and kind of looking back at the 3DS, success or failure, and the upcoming 2DS, which I... Still think it's a goofy goddamn name, but whatever. So
there's reasons behind it.
Exactly, boom, reasons. Boom, so anyway, boom, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd with...
I'm Jamie J.J. Johnston saying my dragoon is made of snarbles and hardened sap, and I'm cool. Bum 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 b